Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It is November 1932. The Prime Minister, Stanley Baldwin, speaking to his audience, that would be Great Britain, but also to us here in the 21st century. The quote, said the PM, "I think it is well also for the man in the street to realize that there is no power on earth that can protect him from being bombed. Whatever people may tell him, the bomber will always get through. The only defense is in offense, which means that you have to kill more women and children more quickly than the enemy if you want to save yourselves." I welcome Henry Sokolsky, the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, commenting on that remark by Stanley Baldwin 90 years ago, and today the classification system that has successfully muffled thinking in the U.S. government and other governments. We begin with the idea of air war in the 1920s and 1930s. Henry, Stanley Baldwin did not intend his remark to be classified. He made a public speech, but it led to a misunderstanding of air war, which led to our classification system today. First, what was the misunderstanding of air war that presumably dominated the conversation during the Second War? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's nice to be back with you. I don't know if it was a misunderstanding, but it was a pessimistic view about how precise one could aim a bomber's payload based on what little we knew from the First World War. There was some bombing that went on then and the interwar period. And it was assumed that you couldn't really aim at anything very well, but you could hit big things like cities. And that given how bloody and protracted the First World War was, if you could threaten to eliminate or decimate the political, military, and industrial capital, literally, very quickly, you could either deter the other fellow or coerce them not to do certain things in peacetime, or if a war came, you could quickly win. And we played this out in a way in the Second World War, and it was punctuated with something that seemed to validate it. Nagasaki and Hiroshima, where you had one bomber, got through, ended the war, it seemed. And that then became, roughly, this idea of air war, became the organizing principle not only for our military, and when I say our military, everybody's military that was a big power, like, you know, UK, France, Russia, now China. And it became imperative to protect your advantage in such a way, given the stakes, because if you didn't protect yourself and keep certain things quiet, word would get out, the bomb would spread, you might be attacked, civilization could be destroyed. And they talked in these terms in the 40s. I mean, presidents talked this way. And as a result, we became obsessed with preventing certain pieces of information from ever getting out. And it kind of led to an obsession that became imprudent with regard to overclassification.
So let me understand, Henry. We go from the tactic of city busting, which was a product of the bombers getting bigger and no more precise, but bigger with bigger weapons. Practiced in the 1940s, both sides, London was city busted by the Luftwaffe, and Berlin and attendant cities were city busted by Bomber Command and then the 8th Air Force. City busting suggested that they were winning. They told themselves they were winning. when there was evidence that what you were doing was killing women and children. They could see it, but they believed.
Well, they knew it. You know, the British, to their credit, did not memorialize Bomber Command until, I think, the last 20 years, because the British debated at the time the morality of doing what they were doing. So they kind of were aware of it. It did some good, and it was the best they could do with what they had. It helped the war effort. But, yeah, it was morally rebuttable.
Well, we went from Bomber Command in the 8th Air Force and then the same thing in Japan prior to the atomic bomb to the biggest city buster of all, the atomic weapon. And that's the moment when classification enters the scene, right at that moment. Up to that point, I believe the Norden bombsight had been the most classified thing in the Air Force, or certainly in the strategic kitchen of the Defense Department, of the War Department.
Well, there was classification during the Second World War, and it was quite extreme. But it carried over after the war because of the organizing principle of nuclear city busting being a threat. They said, well, we have to continue to be pretty tight. It was extremely tight during the Second World War. Well, that continued after the war.
All right. Now we're in the Cold War. The atomic bomb was classified. Yes. Everything about the atomic bomb. I had no knowledge that words were classified. And if you used that word, you were suspect. What is the word? Implosion? Was that the magic? If you said it out loud?
Well, you know, certain ideas. If you talked about certain principles that were critical to bomb design, you could get into hot water pretty quickly, particularly if you worked for the government. You could lose your clearance, which was equivalent to losing your identity papers to have a career in working in scientific and engineering matters, or for that matter, policy matters. So you had to tread very carefully.
The Cold War begins, and there is one challenge to the U.S., a peer equivalent, which is the Soviet Union, the Moscow threat. And I believe this is the case you make in a lecture, that the comparative advantage that the U.S. had was that we could keep secrets, and therefore the Russians wouldn't know what we were up to until we demonstrated it, and then the Russians would exhaust themselves, the Soviets would exhaust themselves trying to match it, and we've moved on, keeping secrets until we revealed it. Is that how we did it? The modality?
Well, it was a compound. Secrecy was a ingredient in a recipe, which was to innovate quickly enough in the military fields to stay ahead of the Russians by at least 3 years, and that roughly, if you could do that, You could run them ragged, so to speak. And arguably, that's one way to look at the victory of the Cold War, because I remember working in the Hill when the Strategic Defense Initiative was proposed and promoted. The Russians thought, oh, my God, maybe they'll be able to develop half of this technology. We can't possibly keep up. And then we hit them with a lot of financial and technological controls, and the regime kind of ran out of gas, literally, and it collapsed.
And yet, Henry, we don't need to go to SDI to see this methodology. It starts with the Nautilus, the genius of the U.S. Navy to build a submarine based on atomic power. At that point, both our submarine fleets, the Soviets and the U.S., were all diesel-powered. And they had limitations. The Nautilus introduced the ability to go anywhere for a lengthy period of time. Wasn't the Nautilus's expedition to the North Pole a significant blow to the Russian technology?
Well, we tried to jump ahead on submarines, bombers, missiles, going to space. I mean, we were unrelenting, and it did exhaust them.
And it built this apparatus, which you identify as classification. And in building that apparatus, it was a one-way machine. They were building it. It was getting larger, but there was no way back. That's how I hear you, Henry.
Well, there's always a preference for safety, particularly if you're in a big organization like the government. And you have a choice. Should I make this public or not? Well, if I do and I get in trouble, I could lose my job. And if I just hit secret, no one will object. And frankly, no one will know for the most part. So let's hit secret.
And so what we have here is an apparatus, a classification apparatus that can be applied to anything. It could be applied to the parade route that we're going to use on July 4th, attended by VIPs. But its center, its kernel, was the atomic bomb, which was a product of Stanley Baldwin's air war presumption.
Well, if what you're worried about ultimately is the big one, and the big one is the destruction of civilization, and certainly all the decimation of all of your military, political, and industrial capital, it's hard to think that you wouldn't be frightened into being as careful about whatever it is that might be divulged to lose your advantage in preventing that. And so you go very hard on tightening the screws on secrecy.
And in tightening the screws, because we're talking about the 1950s, Eisenhower, 1960s, Kennedy and Johnson, and the Vietnam War, all these conflicts with the Soviets, was there anyone in government, not an elected official, but an appointed official, who saw this, or any group who saw what was happening?
Yes. I mean, to make this sound like there was no one in government saying, "Hey, wait a minute, this is kind of kooky," or "We need to know our history from 25 and 50 years ago. We can't keep classifying that and keeping it from coming out." Sure, there was pushback, but the game was asymmetrical.
And it was practiced by the so-called AKA the intelligence community. And it was practiced.
Well, in fairness to them, I would give the highest points for waging this effort and tightening the screws to the Pentagon, where I used to work. The intelligence community, sure, but the Defense Department certainly gets honorable mention or dishonorable mention, depending how you view these things. But they really have been an immense driver and still are.
Did anyone at the DOD connect Stanley Baldwin with what was going on, this paper storm that grew into planet of paper is what they were constructing?
There was a very strong movement, at least to contradict him, Frederick Clay, the people I studied under, Albert and Roberta Wohlstetter, Andy Marshall, to point out that the assumption that bombers and missiles could only be inaccurate and therefore needed to be massively destructive was literally dead wrong, and that trying to kill women and children quickly to shock people into caving was immoral and militarily foolish. Now, that much really did get cleared up pretty much in the early 80s. But the secrecy part of it was not generally part of that argument.
I'm speaking to Henry Sokolsky of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. We're looking at from Stanley Baldwin to secrets within secrets within secrets. And the logical question is, what is to be done? Henry has recommendations, but that paper planet is getting bigger as we talk. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the comfort and support with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.